den, vážení televizní diváci. Hlásíme se ještě z Karlovarského filmového festivalu, kde se nám podařilo získat pro rozhovor Britských listů pana Petra Hamese. To je, vážení televizní diváci, odborník, filmový odborník, kterého by měla Česká republika oslavovat, protože od konce 70. let publikuje celou řadu knížek o československém a českém filmu od 60. let. Je aktivní, pracuje jako odborník na středoevropskou kinematografii pro Londýnský filmový festival. K těm knížkám patří Čekoslovek New Wave, československá filmová vlna, která vyšla už v 80. letech. Nejnověji Czech and Slovak Cinema, Theme and Tradition, český a slovenský film, téma a tradice, a také vynikající publikace Dark Alchemy, Films of Jan Švankmajer, Temná alchymie, filmy Jana Švankmajera. Podařilo se nám získat tedy Petra Hamese pro náš rozhovor. Budeme s ním hovořit v angličtině. Dále pokračujeme v titulcích. Mr. Hames, thank you very much for coming to our interview. I just wanted to ask you, you've been writing about Czech films and Slovak films since the 1960s. What made you?
Well, I like many people, my main introduction to Czech and Slovak film was through the Czechoslovak New Wave in the late 60s, mid to late 60s. And in particular, of course, the work of Miloš Forman and Jiří Menzel, because Forman won two Academy Award nominations, Menzel won an Academy Award, Jan Kadar and Elmar Kloss won an award for Shop on the High Street. So this made Czech and Slovak cinema internationally available, I think, for the first time. And my interest was that I was at that time working as a film lecturer, but also in the film society movement. And I got to organize several sessions for film societies, which made available to them the new Czech and Slovak films available that were going to be distributed. And it became obvious that there were many, many films behind this sort of front of Oscar winners. Films by Shawn, films by Jiresh, films by Hidilova, and they reached international audiences in a completely new way.
So you basically were fascinated by the fact here they were suddenly, what was happening in this part of Europe, Central Europe, where they were suddenly winning these international prizes, were getting this international exposure, just so this is why as a film lecturer you decided to actually look into it slightly more closely.
Yeah, that's clear. I mean, it was obvious to me that many of these films which were less available or less critically acclaimed would have been critically acclaimed if they'd come out of Italy or France or so on.
But what was so good about these films? Because, I mean, criticism can be raised against some of the currently made Czech films that they basically cater only for the local audiences, because of course they are now, unlike in the 60s, under commercial pressure, so they have to do that. But in the 60s, they of course dealt with local with issues that were of concern to local audiences, but at the same time they had some kind of weirdly international appeal, and they had international, what was this international appeal?
Well, certainly if you're looking at Forman and Menzel, it was the comic appeal, the human appeal, which certainly had an international impact, and I think you could really say that they also impacted on film directors internationally, particularly in the UK. Ken Loach, Lindsay Anderson, and so on, were particularly influenced by their work. I would say internationally, many filmmakers were influenced as well. It seems to me, I mean, I heard recently about an Indian filmmaker who has made something like a 7-hour film about the New Wave.
Oh, really?
All based on his early experiences of seeing closely observed trains.
Okay.
And I don't think this is unusual. I mean, I was talking to some people the other day working on an online magazine, and they said they were doing work on Hitilova. I know that academic journals are working on Hitilova as well. And this is kind of what, 50 years after the films were made, they're still having a resonance mm-hmm. with international audiences and critics.
But you said you were talking about Menzel's humor. Fair enough, closely observed today, but obviously it must be something more. It's not Chytilová isn't humor, is it? What was it? I mean, is it even possible to sum it up? Obviously, it's something undefinable.
Well, they all took their different. They took different routes. Clearly, I mean, if you're looking for a sort of common denominator, I don't think you'll find one, because many of those directors were encouraged, I think, to develop their own personalities and their own individuality. I guess that's still the case today. But in those days, I guess, not having visited Czechoslovakia until the 70s, in those days, I guess the pressures of living in a communist society and the possibility of expressing yourself and the influence of foreign cinema, for instance, one of the things significant at FAMU was that the filmmakers were getting to see Antonioni mm-hmm. and Fellini and international cinema generally.
So you basically see the contribution of the Czech cinema or Czechoslovak cinema in the 60s as something which was partially inspired by the international film narrative and yet made its own original contribution to it.
Sure, particularly Forman, obviously, talking about and Chytilová as well, saying, well, actually, we want to put the life around us on the screen. We're not seeing that in the contemporary cinema, which of course was ideologically mm-hmm. sort of directed, and they began to break with that mold. And I think that wasn't only a Czech phenomenon, because when Lindsay Anderson came here in 65 and visited Forman when he was working on Loves of a Blonde, he said it was very much like the atmosphere that he experienced when he and his colleagues were working in Free Cinema, which was a British independent sort of amateur almost movement in the late 50s. And there were clearly similarities in this sort of revolt against convention, which
did
were
it
international.
Have something in common with the fact that actually in the 60s, because it was state cinematography, that actually they were not under commercial pressures, that they didn't need to actually make something that would be successful at the box office?
Well, I think that's clearly important, because many of those directors, when commercial pressures came in, said, well, we never had to worry about this before. What we had to worry about was ideological pressure. And obviously that was there, but there were clearly some routes through the system. I mean, it's quite interesting that, it clearly wasn't a liberal regime in the 60s. The filmmakers were sort of running up against difficulties and censorship all the time to get these films made. But they were made, and there were obviously sympathetic voices or heads, shall we say, within the system.
Who supported this, yes.
Who were prepared to support it, yeah.
You've been studying Czech cinema for many decades. In your view, what is the best? What has stunned you? What is the greatest contribution?
Oh, golly. when people ask me for my five best films, I say, well, I can give you 50. I would say, for me, one of the discoveries was certainly František Vláčil's Markéta Lazareva.
Well, Czech film critics voted it as the best film of all time.
Didn't have an international sort of presence in the 60s, but I saw it here, and it was completely knocked out by it. One of the films which was very successful internationally, Ivan Passer's Intimate Lighting, and of course, inevitably, Jan Švankmajer's surrealist work, which is sort of transcended the decades in a way, from the 60s right through to the present, is the most systematic presence in Czech cinema. But I think animation too, because DVD companies are rediscovering Carol Zeman, Jerzy Tonka.
You write actually introductions for the DVD editions. I've noticed that your name is connected. In fact, dear television viewers, we have to say that I checked Mr. Hames's bibliography today. He's got 29 items there about Czech cinemas, which is really quite amazing, frankly.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know
It's also articles and introductions to various DVDs, but great, yes.
Uh-huh.
So yes, of course. Let's go back to that intimate lighting, because I think Ivan Pasler says that in his introduction to the DVD that the appropriate official at Barrandov, when he saw it before it was released, said this is the Garapé is the most boring film they ever made.
Yeah.
But it is basically a film about nothing, really, isn't it? It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Why do people? I mean, in the DVD, some American filmmaker says, well, whenever I am depressed, I watch it, and it's like visiting friends. What do you say?
Well, it is. It's about observing people.
Uh-huh.
And observing people who fundamentally are, I would say, attractive, sympathetic, like visiting a family as you would wish it to be, even though there are all these conflicts, they're kind of gentle conflicts within I think.
And Schwankmeyer, why is Schwankmeyer so important and timeless, or is he timeless?
Well, Schwankmeyer, of course, probably obtained most of his reputation subsequent to the fall of communism, because various people like the brothers Quay, or the Quay brothers, and international audiences began to see his work, but prior to
but
that,
also it helped that Channel 4 actually co-founded Alice, wasn't it? And I think this was before the fall of communism.
Yes, it was, just before the fall of communism. I think, that, technically speaking, Alice was a Swiss film.
All right.
As I understand it, but made in Czechoslovakia. So it was kind of not really approved by the system, but it was nonetheless created by the system.
Yes, yes.
But clearly, Alice was a big impact internationally, and sort of British companies have been involved, also with Faust and I think Conspirators of Pleasure as well. So that's certainly helped his films too.
What's interesting is actually when you see the how sort of intellectual filmmaking filters into the of the general audiences. Most people these days wouldn't remember this, but there was a McEwan's Lager advert on British television, which was based on Dimensions of Dialogue, made by Schwankmeyer. And I think they must have actually commissioned Schwankmeyer to do this. I don't know. But this was maybe way of 89, 90. You haven't seen that?
No, I've not seen that one. I've seen many commercial adverts influenced by Schwankmeyer's films. Yeah.
Can I go back? Sorry, I'm constantly interrupting, but time is limited. But we have to mention this. We are here at the Karlovy Vary Film Festival, totally international event, 2018. But you were here once before earlier. You were here in 78. What was it? Was it like? Briefly, we have about a minute left.
I think it was 78. Oh, 77 or 78. Uh-huh. Anyway, what was it like? Well, the Soviet cosmonauts were here. They were the guests of honor. The Russian film won the main award, the Crystal Globe.
Of course.
But it was shared with Vlachil.
Oh, really?
Sorry, that was Shadows of a Hot Summer, which is rather a good film. You didn't see many of the public, the general public.
And yet it was called Lidový Festival, wasn't it?
It wasn't really a people's festival in that sense. It was a good festival in some ways. It was not dissimilar from the present. Not dissimilar. In fact, the similarities are greater than the dissimilarities, but it wasn't open to the public. Of course, it didn't have American stars. It didn't have big American films.
Okay.
But there was some interesting work still being shown, regardless of that, particularly from, I would say, places like India, Algeria, and so on, because I think the Dean of FAMU at the time, I think it was still Brousil at the time, who was... obviously quite interested in promoting the sort of third world countries.
Okay.
So that was quite a strong element of the
festival.
So
that tradition still exists because, of course, Karlovy Vary still is interested in the third world. Mr. Hames, thank you very much. It was incredibly interesting. Děkujeme vám za pozornost. Naschledanou.